Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/Android. Make sure to enter the promo code Android. And by Squarespace. Squarespace is the best way to create a beautiful website or online store. Start your trial before June 30th to get a free year of custom email and business tools on the professional or business plan. Plus, enter offer code AboutAndroid and get 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful. And by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you all the ingredients to cook fresh, delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 219, recorded on Tuesday, June 23rd, 2015. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
Hello, welcome back.
It's good to be back.
Yes, good to have you back 2 weeks in a row in the studio.
Yes, of course. Feels right.
It
should be, yes.
And welcoming back, man, it's been a while since we've had you on. J.R. Raphael of Computer World. Good to have you back, sir.
Hey, top of the evening to you. I'm delighted, as always, to be here. It has been a while.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. It wasn't intentional.
I had a kid. You know, things got a little hectic.
That's right.
Someone's been busy.
That's right. That did happen.
Yeah. Little thing, you know. I mean, I didn't personally have it, but, you know, I was involved in the creation. And all.
But listen. Yeah, you were kind of essential.
Another topic. Yeah.
But the Android news never stops. So really, a kid shouldn't get in the way of that. I mean, you know, JR, you need your priorities. So, yeah.
Well, I've been trying to train her to start writing my stories, but so far they're just coming out with like and
gibberish.
So yeah, if you see stuff like gibberish under my byline one day, that's why. I'm working on making her the replacement.
any modern parent understands what that gibberish means. Pretty much it comes through on any sort of social network. You're like, oh, hi, insert friend's kid's name here. That's exactly what it's all about. Well, it's good to have you back. Let's see here. I linked to an... Okay, so by the way, right off the top, I'm using the Dell Venue 10 7000.
Just to get that out of the way.
Just to get that out of the way, because right now I like tried to follow a link, and I guess I have to tap it in order to go through.
So this is a tablet hybrid, right? It's a tablet that looks like a laptop?
It is an Android tablet that docks into a keyboard. We're going to talk about it in the hardware section for sure. I'm dedicated, though, to doing this episode of All About Android firmly locked into this device.
It's not impossible. I've been using the tablet keyboard combination for a couple of weeks now, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, so far so good. Yeah. We'll talk all about it. JR played around with it as well. We'll get there. But JR, the thing I wanted to point out is that you have kind of a series that you're doing on Computer World, and in fact, it's called How I Use Android. Your last one features someone that we know on this show. I think her name might be Gina. Is that right?
Yeah, I think we used to see her around these parts once in a while, didn't we?
Yeah, we still do.
Yeah. No, it's a fun little series I started doing, just kind of an inside look at how different people who are known in the Android world use Android themselves. So, you know, the apps and devices they can't live without, and the part that I'm always interested in seeing how they set up their home screens on their own phone. And Gina graciously agreed to be one of the victims, or highlighted people, which we'll call them, for the thing. And so the most recent one was her. I've done a couple with people from Google. I did one with JBQ, and a bunch more on deck coming up. So trying to do about 2 a month, and they're a lot of fun.
Nice. That's pretty cool. It is very interesting to see how people lay out their home screen. You know, do they just cram everything on there? As far as Gina's concerned, it looks like she has her two main, and you can find it on that page, Zach, if you scroll down to the middle, it's there. She has pretty much her home screen is dedicated to Chrome and Inbox, just those two apps. And then down in the bottom dock, four sections, which is essentially like her photos. Let's see here, her photo and camera apps, her like dialers and text messages, that sort of stuff, fitness stuff, and then all of the other important stuff.
That's just insane. I mean, I love Gina's great, and I but like, wow, like so much screen real estate not being used.
But I can kind of understand because Gina's all about being focused.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And too much.
So you're saying that I'm
all
not
over
focused?
The place. I'm just saying that her approach
you're saying
is.
That my
oh yeah. So
compare. Let's
go ahead and see
if,
what.
If you did the over camera shot, Zach. Scroll down to Gina's. So you have
slightly different.
Yeah.
They're scaled pretty well too. Together. Yeah. Yeah, well, not to mention your background is really
very
hard
busy.
To tell.
Yeah, yeah, like, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, what is going on there?
It's a zoom in on a pinball machine. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, I got widgets. I got
One thing I always like about this and I find fascinating is that, and it's not true with everyone, but for a lot of people, I think you can kind of see a little bit about someone's personality and the way they set up their home screen. I mean, especially someone who's interested in Android and deliberately takes the time to do it a certain way. And that, like what you're saying, Jason, that seems like it fits Gina. It's kind of minimalist. It's very organized. There's a system. And then, you know, you see some people who are just all over the place. You see people who do something really creative and artsy. It's an interesting little peek into somebody's psyche, and
totally
you know, something you don't get to see. It feels very personal to me, at least from a geeky perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I don't know how you organize it, Jason, but like my approach has always been like that main screen should be the ones that I do the most, and when I don't have enough room, that's when I use folders. So, for example, I've got a whole social media folder on that main screen. I've got a whole email one because I have multiple email clients. I've got, you know, cars with Uber and Lyft and Get Around and Zipcar, you know. And then the second screen is just like, the other stuff that I use sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know? So that's personally how I do it. How do you do it, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, mine kind of goes back and forth a little bit, but with a very kind of constant kind of theme around here. Like, I've got my notes and to-dos. I've got my things that I read. I've got my things that I watch.
Like functional. You're like, yeah.
Things
yeah,
that
yeah.
I listen to.
Yep. I have a listen.
Maps has its own thing because I find that just to be an important one push type thing.
Yep.
Things that I do socially.
Yeah, you and I are
my emails down there. I've got my docs and I've got my Play Store. And down at the bottom are like the essentials calls, texts, browser, and camera
stuff.
Yeah,
I do the same thing. I got calls, text, Twitter, and browser. Yeah. So
it is very, very fascinating, though, to see how everybody does it differently. And it's almost like when I looked at Gina's, I was like, God, maybe I should do that.
I know.
That kind of simplifies things.
Makes you feel a little less than or more than in this case.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how
that's the fun part, too. Yeah. The idea that I kind of thought is that, and we'll see as it progresses and we see more people, you know, you might take a little inspiration, whether it's someone doing something minimalist or someone doing something crazy where you're like, oh, how did they come up with this, whatever gesture or background or something. And, you know, what's interesting, too, is the trend so far, at least, has been most of the people who deal with Android in one way or another for a lot of their lives, whether it's, you know, as a developer, as a writer, as someone who actually works on Android at Google or what have you, seem to have pretty simple setups. And I'm sure you guys have seen some of the just mind-blowingly cool things that people do where you've got, you know, a whole theme going and widgets that, you know, dynamically change based on the time of day, and it all kind of comes together. So far, no one has had anything that elaborate. It's all been pretty simple. And so maybe there's a connection. I was talking with a couple people on Twitter, and the theory was that people, whether they're writers, developers, Android engineers or designers or whatever, tend to use a lot of phones. And so when you're going back and forth between, you know, different phones, review units or test units or whatever the case might be, you kind of streamline things and come up with a setup that's simple and works and that you can easily move to another device in like 5 to 10 minutes without having to do a massive setup every time you change a phone.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of it.
And get back to the starting point easily.
Yeah.
I think that's totally got to be part of it.
I was going to say, Zach, how do you organize your phone, Zach, behind the TD desk?
Well, I'm pretty similar to you guys. I'll hold it up here. I don't know if you can see it, but I keep my essentials at the bottom: camera, Chrome, messaging, phone. And then I've got a folder for Twitter and Facebook and Reddit and Instagram,
Social stuff.
Going through my feeds and things like that.
Yeah. Nice.
Pretty similar to you guys.
Yeah.
And that's a subtle way of noting that Brian bailed on us today.
I couldn't help but notice that you're not Brian, you're Zach.
Yeah. I couldn't help but notice there's just an amazing switch going on here on this show. Yeah,
I know. You're lighting the board on fire right now. Literally, on fire. Don't do that because we need that for other shows.
Listen, Zach had an opportunity to TD the show today, and so we took it.
Brian had an opportunity to shoot video for Padre.
We all got opportunities.
All right. This week, we've got a lot to talk about. We'll be discussing USB-C coming on Android, a few things pointing to that and some interesting news in that regard. Play Music's free streaming service announced today. YouTube Gaming taking on Twitch. The Dell Venue 10 7000, what I'm using to do the show and what JR has recently posted a review on, and much more. But before we get to news,
a little bit of cool,
I think it's time for some breaking news.
How seamlessly Zach handled that.
See?
It was great.
I'm telling you, Zach and Josh, they're solid behind the board.
I know, yeah.
I've forgotten if Brian's any good at this point.
I think Brian's got a little complacent, to be honest with you. Yeah,
we'll see.
We'll see.
This just in, Michael Kreider, previous guest of All About Android and awesome editor on Android Police, shows that someone got Android 1.6 and went ahead and proved that you can install that on a Texas Instruments graphing calculator. And, you know, it is Android 1.6, so I'm not saying that it's the latest and greatest.
Is there video of it?
Yeah, there is video. There's a player on the page right up at the very top. You can see him playing this Rocket Lander game about halfway through.
Oh, look at the app draw. Oh, man, do you remember that?
Do you remember?
1.6 Cupcake, right?
I believe 1.6 is Cupcake.
Oh, wow. Did you see that? How long it took to... that is some smooth graphic processing.
There's a little bit of a lag, maybe, and all that. But it's a graphing calculator.
That's pretty cool.
That's insane.
And it's running Android.
Why? Because they can. That's
exactly.
Why not?
Yeah.
See? Totally playable.
I like the memory dims just to the left of it to give you the size of the sense of scale.
And the fact that it's 12:40 a.m., which means it's like, oh, before I go to bed, I'm just going to record this video as proof and post it on Reddit or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Of course it's 12:40 a.m. What other time do you put Android 1.6 on a graphing calculator?
It seemed like a good idea at the time when I started.
I wonder if our definition of breaking news is getting a little...
Well, it was breaking because it actually broke right before the show. No, it actually did. So I'm not saying it's important. I'm just saying it's news that broke, and I'm always looking for a reason to play the break news bumper.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Well, while we can, while we still have the Lollipop name to use.
Yeah, so, I know. Yeah. Exactly. I have no idea what I'm going to do with M. I think M's going to be a hard one to find a song for.
Once we know what it is, that will vindicate it. So.
Any of the possibilities, though? You know, I've like had to think about like.
Well, if it is milkshake, there's that rat. Isn't that the
milkshake brings all the boys to the yard?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah. That might be just so new though that we'll never.
I sound like an old man. Isn't that that song that milkshake song?
The milkshake brings the boys to the yard.
Kids like that rap music these days, don't they?
That's what I've heard. Yeah. All right, let's do some actual news now.
It's time to talk Android and chew bubblegum. And I'm all out of bubblegum on Android News.
Wow, you got Jason. Well done.
I took the drink at the wrong time.
It was nearly a spit take.
I did. It almost was. The Dell Venue 10, I almost had to ask for another unit to review the device.
That definitely would have made the best of. That definitely would have been a good moment.
I'm happy I didn't do that, though. Yeah. I don't like beating up the review units.
Well done, Zach.
Very, very good.
Yep. Thanks.
Let's see here. So, first up, all you USB-C fans, listen up. The devices are coming. We kind of know this already. A few months ago, right about the time that the Chromebook Pixel 2 was announced, Google said that it had a commitment to the standard, explicitly saying to expect USB-C to come to Chromebooks and Android phones in the near future. There's a product page up on the Google Store for the Universal Type-C charger. Kind of further solidifies that as a universal charger for your, quote, next generation devices and support for USB-C built into Android M, altogether kind of make it highly likely to expect that the next Nexus device, at least, is going to be packing the new standard. But what do we have here?
What do we have
here? The first next-gen Android device to announce USB-C connectivity. Can you guess who it is?
Nope.
No, you can't?
Nope.
Ron's been under a rock, but he probably could because he's seen the notes. The OnePlus 2.
OnePlus 2. Of course the OnePlus 2. Well done.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that going to be censored when the show airs? Are you going to bleep out that name? I heard you weren't allowed to say it anymore. I read a rumor on the internet.
Yeah, so this is one of those things where, man, lately I don't post to social
a whole lot lately because I feel like when I do, I either put my foot in my mouth or I say something and then it gets totally goes in this whole place. So basically what it was is OnePlus obviously is doing what worked well for them last year. They're doing the slow drip marketing campaign where every single week they announce a new feature.
Yep.
And all I'm saying is when Leo and I were talking about it, I think we were talking about it at the end of this week in Google last week, and we talked about the OnePlus 2 at one point, and Leo was like, are we really going to talk about every single time a new feature is announced for this phone? Let's make a pact. Let's not talk about it every single time it happens. And I think what I said at the time was, well, yes, I totally agree, unless it's a big deal, unless it's actually a news item that's a big deal. USB-C is a big deal,
I would say.
Yeah. It's the first device, and a lot of people are looking forward to it. I suppose all I was saying in that post is, I'm not going to feel compelled to talk about it every single friggin' time they announce a data point, because it's not always worth talking about.
Right, and that's the challenge. There are, you know, the OnePlus marketing department that we often give a hard time to. You know, they want the OnePlus to be in the conversation, people talking about it, and doing this slow drip, give something new. They could just announce all the specs at once, and it'll get a big burst of it being talked about. But then it dies down until it finally comes out or whatever. So this is a way to draw it out. But that said, it's a double-edged sword because it could be really tedious and really annoying, and on our side, it makes sense to wait until something that's big enough. And I think USB-C is a big deal.
Yeah, I think it's a big deal.
I mean, almost as big as that charger block in the Google store. I was like, oh, wow, are we back to large plugs now?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
but
right.
I don't know. I don't blame you, Jason. It's okay. You can
it was one of those post Google Plus regret things where I was like, the way that worded, it sounded like I was like, I'm never talking about OnePlus 2 ever in the history of the world. And which I suppose that's not necessarily what I'm saying, because that I don't know if that's necessarily a great journalistic stance to take on anything. Yeah. But let's get back to the point. USB-C, big deal. What do you think, JR?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think actually that the charger you were showing, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is the one for the new Pixel.
Yes, it is.
Which I had the chance, and you guys maybe did as well when it came out, to use it. And that was my first USB-C experience. And I mean, it seems like a silly little thing. You're like, okay, whatever. It's just the plug goes in either way. But it really makes a world of difference in what it's like to use, because everyone who's ever plugged anything in USB knows the universal law, whichever way you plug it in first, it's always going to be the wrong way. It never fails. Yep. And it's a little thing, but for as many times as you plug a phone in, you know, unless you're using wireless charging and not plugging in ever, but if you're plugging in for charging, if you're plugging in for data transfer, whatever, it's really nice to be able to do that. And then it has some other benefits. You know, the fact that it's universal, it'll be a while till it matters, and it's going to be a little bit of a rough transition when one thing is on this, one's on that, and you know, the 1,000 micro USB charges you have don't work anymore. But once we get through that transition, that'll be fantastic. If you can just take one charger with you and plug it into your laptop, plug it into your phone, you know, it makes life so much simpler. And, you know, with the laptop too, on the Pixel, it enabled a sort of a fast charging kind of thing, like what we've seen with Quick Charge.
Yeah.
It just makes so much more sense. And if and when it actually becomes universal, it gets everywhere, however long that takes, man, that's going to be nice.
By the time it starts to get universal is when a new standard will come along.
When D comes out. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But
how it works anyways.
I mean, yeah, JR, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think I've posted on Twitter many a times about the frustration at always getting it wrong.
Yeah.
And also, given that Apple is adopting the USB-C standard, now there's great kind of, it doesn't matter what your friends are using, you can all share your chargers and plugs and all that, makes it all that much easier. It's just going to be slow to get there. But ultimately, at the end of the day, as Bleak in the chat room points out, it's just a plug. It's just a plug.
Very true, Bleak. Yeah. Thanks.
All things in perspective. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it speaks more to the fact that OnePlus 2 is the first phone on the market with it. First to announce, right.
Might not be the first to market. Well, that remains to be seen, but they're certainly the first
to market. How do you define it? Are they going to sell it to like 5 people on the first day?
Fair enough, right? Like do the invite thing and, hey, we've, you know, 10 people get the OnePlus 2. Yay, we're to market.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point.
Yeah. So, all right. So, JR, you had an article up on Computer World about Lenovo's kind of Motorola-inspired Android UI and how Google's influence on Lenovo might be a good thing. What can you tell us about this new UI?
So, yeah, Lenovo's old UI on tablets primarily in the US, was just atrocious. I mean, if anyone's used the Yoga Tablet, Yoga Tablet 2, they've got some nice hardware and some cool ideas, but the software was just really holding it back. It's this weird sort of old school Android iOS mashup, which actually there's a screenshot of it on that article if you've got it there that you could show. I mean, they took out the app drawer. It's not that one, it's the next one down. There was no app drawer. All the apps just lived on the home screen in iOS-like styles. You can see that. That is the home screen. That's not the app drawer. You would long press an app, and it would wiggle and get the little X's like on iOS, and that's how you would uninstall. Oh. There is the menu bar, the menu button of shame there, the old-school gingerbread-level overflow menu in the lower right corner. That was built into the OS. So, like, on the home screen, you would tap that for options. It would not be there sometimes. It would be there other times. It was just a mess. And no matter how nice the devices were, it just killed it. You couldn't get past that.
It looks like it probably wouldn't have widget support the way this is laid out, right? I wouldn't imagine.
No, it did. And that's what's even more baffling. It was all just mixed in. Like, you could move those around. You could add in a widget. You could, it didn't make sense. It was kind of the worst of both worlds. They were trying to merge these Android and iOS together, and then for whatever reason brought in some gingerbread level stuff. And I mean, I don't think anyone would be happy with that. If you're an iOS user, you'd be saying, what the hell's going on? If you're an Android user, you're saying, what is this? It was just a mess. And thankfully, they have gone back to the drawing board, more or less, and decided to come up with something that's much, much closer to the Google-level stock Lollipop UI. It's not completely pure along the lines of Motorola. There's still some annoying things there, but from what it was before to now, it is just a night and day difference. And, you know, at this point, with what they can do in hardware, if they're going to keep moving forward with software, which the way Lenovo described it to me, this was a first step. So hopefully this is going to keep going. Then, you know, we can have some pretty interesting devices here now that they're starting to get their act together and do things that make a little more sense.
Yeah, and it kind of gives you hope that Lenovo is going to continue down that road, obviously, for the Motorola devices, which has been a big selling point for those devices up until now. And yeah, just kind of hope that other at least I do. I hope that other manufacturers kind of see these and see what Lollipop has brought from a UI perspective in general, and decide, okay, you know what? There's benefit to presenting our, you know, unique hardware, but with a user interface that's actually done really well.
Oh wait,
I don't know how believable that is as you know, possibility. But I like to think that we'll see more of it.
Someone in a conference room is going, wait, maybe they're onto something. Maybe we should, you know, like it's one thing to have individuality and have brand kind of identity, but it's another thing to be functional and to serve the users. And ultimately, if you're a hardware manufacturer and you're making a great device. I hate when a great device is hindered by the UI decisions they make to make it unique. Mm-hmm. You know, if anything, that's been my biggest thing, you know, holding me back from an HTC device is that I don't want all that stuff. I don't want the custom UI. I want stock Android and that sort of thing. So, I mean, hopefully this is a move in the right direction. I've always liked Lenovo for some reason. I don't know why. Going back 10 years ago when I had a ThinkPad laptop and I was like, oh, this is pretty good. So,
well, good on you, Lenovo.
Yeah, there's sort of always been this misguided... Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, there's been this misguided idea of differentiation that you need to change the software. And, you know, sometimes there's stuff people do to the software that makes sense. But change for the sake of change doesn't serve the design well. It doesn't serve the user well. It's not differentiation in any meaningful way. Differentiation has to matter for it to, for it to be meaningful. Yeah. And hopefully more companies will start to realize that. Lenovo did say to me that this was something that Motorola inspired. You know, of course, they own Motorola now. And seeing how Motorola has had success and the quality of their devices that kind of inspired them along with criticism of their past devices to make this change.
Good.
So it's good to see.
Yeah, good to see, especially because it could have gone the opposite direction, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Could have been, we like that, but, you know, we've got really great ideas. So let's actually just, you know, revert a little bit and go in the other direction because we think what we bring is actually very valuable to blah, 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 derpeter.
Yeah.
Corporate synergy.
Okay, Android M developer preview isn't just for Nexus devices anymore. Certain Sony Xperia devices can now flash the early preview. There are limitations. The image for Xperia devices still points at Lollipop API levels, unlike what you get on a Nexus device. The Nexus builds actually support the latest API level. Also, camera and modem support isn't implemented. So it's definitely kind of, a lesser functionality type of implementation of version M. It's meant purely for developers to kind of check it out from a platform perspective and make sure that their apps are, you know, working. If you happen to have an Xperia device hang around, it's a way to test where you might not have been able to test before. So so that's nice. It's kind of just a good indication, if anything, that those of you on non-Nexus devices might actually be able to get in on the version M preview a little bit before. Yeah, get in on the fun, not just required to have a Nexus device. And by the way, we should be seeing any day now, and as at least based on what Google announced at Google I.O., some sort of update to Android M, because they said they were going to update it on a monthly schedule, and we're right about a month right now, so from Google I.O., close to anyway. So I would imagine sometime in the next, who knows how long, but very soon, we should see an update. I hope so.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I'm loving M.
You're loving M? Really?
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving
him. I'm loving him.
Sorry. Oh, boy.
But it's been, I mean, it's you're not running into many problems?
I don't even think about it. No, I'm not running into any problems. I'm not even thinking about it.
JR, are you running it or are you running M?
I've got it on M. That's cool. That's actually your phone that you're carrying around every day, Jason, you're using it on?
Yeah, it's on my Nexus 6. I installed it on there at Google I.O. because I didn't have another device to install it on. So
He committed. He just went full in. He's like, yep, I'm going to do
Brave.
It.
But and I've really, you know, other than a few issues that I don't have anymore, Android Wear isn't causing me any problems anymore, and which we'll talk about in a second. Yep. And then Evernote, they got that working. So, yeah, it's working great. And I don't even think about it. It doesn't even come to mind that I'm having an issue, and it's probably because Android M is buggy. Like, it just never happens.
It's just smooth. Smoothly. Awesome. Yes. That's great.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, let's...
Does it feel different to you than when you were on Lollipop?
No, I mean, in some ways it does, and I think I've kind of talked about it on the show a little bit, but I mean, battery-wise, it feels very different. I totally noticed the difference implemented with DOS.
Well, I want DOS so badly, because that...
Yeah, I mean, because this is how my phone is a lot of the time. It's just sitting on a desk next to me. It's not in my pocket. I'm not walking around with it all the time. During the weekend when I had it in my pocket, battery was back to back to a normal state that I would expect prior to Android M, but... When I've just got it hanging out on the desk and I'm at work, the savings is awesome. Yeah, it's a big difference.
All that battery savings that they always promise.
It
just took this many times to come through.
Yep.
All right. Well, you'd mentioned Android Wear, and it's a good time to go into hardware.
Let's do it.
Just a little change, a little watch on the guy's arm. So Moto 360 users can rejoice.
Hooray!
As you're finally getting the big Android Wear update that's going out that brings it current, so you'll be able to Flick notifications and have Wi-Fi support and all that crazy stuff that
I didn't activate Flick.
Oh, why not? Flick was great. That was one of the things that I loved with the update when I got on my G Watch. Just being able to dismiss notifications just by turning my wrist was pretty cool. So, have you gotten the update?
I did. I got it last night, so I haven't. Yeah. And you know, the camera shot is really far away, so you're not going to really be able to see. Yeah, it's very bright too. But yeah, so I got it here. We'll go ahead and adjust the brightness.
Oh, there you go.
That better? That better?
Sure.
That work for you? Okay. So let's see here. It's a wrist gesture. We'll go ahead and set that to on. Wrist gesture on. And yeah, you know, it's cool. Like holding down the side, instead of getting your settings thing, you actually get all of your apps up at the top. It's your most recent apps or the most recent ones that you've launched, which in this case was settings. So you've got your apps list there, and then you can... you know, scroll left and right and get more options. Oh, I'm speaking. Great. It's transcribing everything that I'm saying right now. And the longer I talk, the more it's going to spell it out on the screen for you. And this never gets old. So far so good. Let's see.
Cool.
Is that going to work?
Yep. There it is. See, how cool is that? Why would you turn that off?
Well, I'm not going to turn it off.
Because you don't like fun.
I just turned it on.
Nice.
Yes.
So this is... Go on, Jer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think, yeah, my connection's a little funky, so apologies. I think I'm stepping on everyone's toes because I'm like 2 seconds behind. I was just going to say, the one thing with the flicking is great. The one thing that always gets me is I need a flick kind of side-to-side gesture. You know, like you get a Hangouts message and you need to swipe over one to get it. So
right.
The flick lets you see it, but then it doesn't, you still got to reach down with your finger. So the whole hands-free thing, I don't know, there's no real, you don't want to do this, but I need one more gesture for it to be fully useful to me. Because it's almost always a Hangouts message that I'm looking at, and then I flick up, and then I've still got to swipe with my finger to
go up.
Something.
With the wrist or something. Yeah. Just put some music. It's some dance music, and you'll be all set there. There you go.
Yeah. Remember in the original Wear promos, there was a thing where you were dancing, and someone was dancing, and it had a function. We need to get that enabled somehow.
They could do something with this. I reset my phone. How did I do that? I have no idea.
Factory reset somehow. You stumbled upon the gesture.
Erase all data. Yes, no. No.
So, but now's a great time if you're thinking about the Moto 360 because prices are dropping. The update is out there. Who knows when a Moto 362 is going to come out. But if you're thinking about the Moto 360, now's a really good time to pick one up.
Yep.
If you had told me when Android Wear and then the Apple Watch got announced that the whole wearables war would be fought over watch faces, I would have laughed at you, but looks like that's what is indeed happening as Google has showed off 17 new watch faces that are available in the Google Play Store that are available through a collaboration with several fashion brands and known media icons such as Hello Kitty and Rubik's Cube and Angry Birds and other fun stuff like that. So if watch faces are your thing, you can have a Hello Kitty watch face now.
All right, great.
There you go. Take that, Apple. We got more watch faces than you. Who needs Mickey Mouse?
Yeah.
So, and finally, if you ever wanted to skip the Android Wear intro tutorial, now it's pretty easy to do so. Great article up on Droid Life explaining how easy it is to skip that tutorial, which can be a little tedious sometimes. So.
Yeah, well,
yeah. 2 minutes of hell is a little dramatic in my mind, but
I've reset my watch a lot since I installed Android M, and then I figured out what was going on. But in order to reconnect it, I would have to do that.
Yep.
And actually, this isn't even a feature of the new update. This is just the way it is. If you swipe over on the very first card, it gives you cancel tutorial. I just thought it was kind of neat because I've spent a lot of time going through the tutorial swipe. Just get through it because I want my watch working again.
So now you can
sick of it. Now it's just like a one press thing.
2 minutes of hell.
Good to know. Yes. Hell, let me tell you. Boy, that sucked. All right. Before we get into hardware, let's thank our first sponsor of today's episode. And this episode is brought to you by Casper. I love Casper. I've been sleeping on a Casper. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses. They're a fraction of the cost, revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly on to the consumer. Their mattresses are obsessively engineered mattresses at a fraction of the price of the competitors. Two technologies in their latex and memory foam. And they combine those to just make your entire sleep experience better. It's a comfortable mattress, has just the right sink, just the right bounce, and it provides long-lasting comfort and support. I've actually been sleeping on my Casper mattress for months now. We've had it for months. Kids had a great time in the box that you saw here in this video that Leo unboxed. They turned it into a fort. We still have it. But that's a side benefit. We love the mattress. It's almost too comfortable because our five-year-old won't go a single night without hopping in our bed in the middle of the night. She just comes on in and sleeps. It could also be that, you know, mom and dad are there, but I like to think that it's the lure of the Casper mattress. So the thing about Casper, you can buy it easily online and it's completely risk-free. And what that means is that Casper understands that it's important to try out a mattress, actually try it out and sleep on it, not just go into a showroom and lay down on a mattress that they have there for a few minutes. You can try sleeping on a Casper mattress today. Casper offers free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period. So you don't have to lie down in that showroom and make a decision right then and there. And did you know, statistically, lying on a bed in a showroom has no correlation to whether it's the right bed for you. You just make this split-second decision. You don't actually know what you're deciding yes or no to. Casper's mattresses are made in the USA. So there you go. Get a Casper mattress, $500 for a twin or $950 for a king size. And compared to industry averages, that's an outstanding price. And you can save an additional $50 as one of our audience members by going to casper.com/android and make sure and enter the promo code Android when you get there. casper.com/android and promo code Android. And we thank Casper for their support of this show. All right. Hey, let's check out some hardware. The other kind.
All right, a little Amazon news that's not necessarily exactly Android-related, but it's kind of similar to Google Now. The Amazon Echo was announced a few months ago, and it was available through an invite-only system. I know a couple of people have gotten it and said it's really cool, kind of a personal assistant-style piece of hardware that sits in your house. Well, now the Echo is available for Amazon without any invite needed. So if you're interested in the Echo, just go to Amazon, type in Echo, and now you can get one. It's not that creepy because it sits in your house, it always listens to you, and then orders things when you mention, oh, hey, we're out of paper towels, and all of a sudden paper towels are in your cart at Amazon.
Yeah,
not
it's cool, though.
It's neat. It's neat.
Folks around here that have one and have played around with one totally swear by it.
Yeah.
They say it's really, really cool. JR, have you had a chance to play around with the Echo, or what do you think about it?
I haven't. I'd like to. They look pretty cool, and I'm tempted to get one. I don't know if I'm going to go for it yet, but it's tempting. I really want to check them out.
Did we ever get confirmation that those buttons were real or April Fool's from Amazon? You remember those buttons?
Those are real.
Those are real. What were those called?
Oh, man. What are they called? They're the
Target? No. That's
Dash.
Dash. That's what it is. Yeah. I want those.
Dash. Yeah. They supposedly started shipping. They were shipping out a while ago. I signed up. There was just like a website where you could sign up to get on a list, and I never heard anything back. But supposedly they went out to some people.
Yeah, I should get that. Anyway. Cool. I like neat stuff like this. Echo seems pretty cool.
You know, and a lot of people say, well, Google Now is Echo, but it's in your pocket. But like having seen Echo kind of in use, like I'm not sure what the difference is, but there's definitely a difference because the microphone, like it's just kind of always there listening, and the microphone is like really good. Like it picks up really well wherever you are in the room. Very interesting product.
I feel like Echo is close to the interface or interaction with computers that happen in Star Trek. Where they're just like, computer, where are we going? And then a voice just goes, oh, you're going this way. You know, like, is this kind of thing where you can just be like, Echo, you can ask it questions, you can change music and all that sort of stuff. Like, where I think Google Now and Echo are in the same category, but they're distinctly different products. Same thing with Siri and Cortana, whatever, which is coming to Android. But did we talk about
that? No, that's true. No, we haven't talked about that.
Cortana
actually
is coming to Android, as we knew it would be. Anyway.
Interesting. Google opened up an invite system for those who want to try out the Jump VR system that Google unveiled at Google I/O this year. Select creators are going to be given the opportunity this summer, based on a questionnaire that must be filled out explaining what awesome thing they want to do with it. So the assumption here is that certain YouTube stars most likely are going to get early access to Jump VR and be able to create cool content that I imagine Google can tout and show off and all that kind of
Whenever I see the photo of that camera rig, I just think of Mad Men and like, no, it's not a camera. It's a carousel. It's like,
nice.
It's just like, it's so ridiculous looking. I mean, I get it, but it's just ridiculous. Yeah. So
JR, you were at Google I/O this year, as was I, but we didn't run into each other, which was a bummer. But did you play around with the VR stuff that was kind of on hand and take a look at Jump? And what did you think about all that stuff?
Yeah, so after all that buildup, what I was saying is that I didn't get a chance to spend much time trying it at I/O. After all that, I played around with Cardboard a good bit, but the new big stuff, unfortunately, I do also, as Ron said, find it kind of funny, though, because it's just so absurd looking. And it's very cool. It's great technology. But when it was announced, you know, there was this big applause that we've made it to where anyone can do this and anyone, you can build this and set it up. And then they show this like giant, however many camera rig. And it's like, yeah, you just need to have like 47 cameras and this fancy rig and all that.
And no mention of the cost of those 47 cameras at all. Right, like that was the other thing. They're like, anybody can do this if you can afford 16 GoPros and this rig. And
how much is a GoPro?
Gotta be at least, I don't even know. I have no idea. How much is a GoPro? $150? $300? I don't know.
Whatever it is, times 16 is going to be.
Right. It's not going to be cheap. Yeah. And pretty much all so that you can take video of you spinning in a circle on a cliff by the beach, which is all any VR video I've ever seen. It's just somebody going, oh, look where I am.
Yeah.
Right? And like...
Yeah, but just wait till the porn industry gets a hold of it. That's when things are really going to get funky. Yep.
Exactly.
For better or for worse.
Ugh.
Jason, did you have a chance to try it out? I didn't actually see if there was a hands-on demo. I totally missed it because I didn't have a chance to see that at all.
The most that I was able to do while I was there was in the cardboard area where they were kind of showing you video that was recorded with Jump. Just the surround video and everything. And you know, I mean, it was your typical cardboard experience. So, but the rig, kind of looking at the rig up close, like it was, you know, it looks like a monster in the photos, but then you see it in real life and you're like, yeah, this is no joke. Like, this isn't just like, oh yeah, anybody, you know, like you were saying, like anybody can do this. This is like, you gotta have some dough and you know, you, I don't know. It's a process.
Yeah.
This isn't just set it and forget it. I mean, I don't think they even said that.
And it's
was,
neat. But. I mean, the software that they rolled out is neat and it will make leaps forward for virtual reality and all this sort of stuff. But they were so happy with what they've created, they kind of downplayed the ease of being able to start doing it tomorrow, which is, you know, the cost is definitely going to be a hurdle for a lot of people. And admittedly, they released the specs on how to make this, so you don't need to buy their thing. You don't need to buy a GoPro. You can do their own thing. And if you're into VR, you probably have some capital to burn, because I can't imagine somebody just sitting around going, ah, I feel like trying VR. I've got no money, you know, so.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's neat.
It's not a cheap hobby.
Yeah, exactly.
In any capacity.
Right. Exactly.
All right, so JR, you posted a review of, well, actually what I'm using right now, the Dell Venue 10 7000. It's an Android tablet with a keyboard dock. You can kind of see it in the over-the-shoulder shot, and you have it on your side as well.
There it is. Yes indeed.
Yeah, so interesting device. I'm going to be recording a review this week for, and it's going to be in next week's Before You Buy, but I'm curious to know what you thought of it. I've had a lot of fun with it so far. What do you think?
You know, I've really liked it. So this is kind of the bigger brother to the Venue 8 7000, which was a more standard tablet, but a really nice tablet, a really nicely done one. But this one adds in, it's got the little, talking about Lenovo earlier, very reminiscent of Lenovo's designs, this cylinder base on one end, which it's very unusual. It's not like your average tablet. And, you know, for me, it's been a really positive change. It's the cylinder really changes the way you use it. When you hold it in a vertical orientation, I'll show you here, you kind of hold it more like a magazine. It gives you a nice grip to hold on to. And it feels very natural. But then where the real power is, of course, if you go landscape, it kind of serves as a base. And if you got it on your lap, you can kind of pivot. But the real power is in the keyboard attachment, which really is almost like a piece of the same system. It's not just like a dock. It is part of it. And it's nice to use. So let's see if I can get this on camera where you can see. Okay. So it just snaps in. It's held in magnetically, and then at that point, it's pretty much like a laptop. I mean, it swivels back and forth. It's held in very securely. You know, if you're tapping the screen, it's not going to go away, but it's still easy to get out. You just kind of go past the farthest point where it'll pivot, and you snap it right out. And with it together, as evidenced by the fact, Jason, that you've been using it for this whole show, I mean, you use it pretty much like a laptop. It's got backlit keys. They're really nice to type on. You know, the typical tablet keyboard is kind of like passable. You know, you can make it work, but it's not something you're going to love typing on. I've been using this. So I posted my review last week, and I've got the device for another few days. I'm sending it back this coming weekend. So I've been continuing to use it just to get some longer term impressions. And, you know, I haven't been using it as my sole computing device. It's not quite at that level for the work I need to do, but it makes a really nice secondary around the house computer where, you know, if I'm sitting on the couch, I use it as a great tablet where the hardware is top notch. It's got a fantastic display, great speakers, really comfy to hold. And then when I want to pound out an email or a long text message or edit a document or what have you, I just drop it in here and boom, I've got, you know, a functioning laptop running Android. Oh, and I should point out too, the other cool thing is that you can flip it backwards and use it as a stand. So if you're just watching, you know, video or browsing around on the internet, actually that's what I've been pretty much every time I use it, I sit it in the stand and just have it kind of sitting on my lap, because rather than holding it, you just got a nice stand.
Yeah. No, I like it a lot, actually, and the display is really nice. The keyboard, you know, the fault always, I think, with these keyboards is kind of like, how do the keys feel? How is the touchpad? The touchpad is always such a weakness, and I got to say, yeah, I'm really happy with this one. Now, I did this backwards. I didn't realize you could do that, so I haven't done that yet. It just pops out the same way, doesn't it?
Okay. Yeah, and then you could do it in like a tent mode, too, which I haven't really found a need to, but... Okay. I guess maybe some people would.
Yeah. Because you can.
And then it closes all the way down, too. Yeah. And you can close it all the way down. And it just, like a, you know, travel case, it just looks like a laptop. And the nice thing, too, some of these you see, including the Nexus 9 keyboard, that you have to charge, which the Nexus 9 one, you don't really have to charge much. But this one, you don't think about it at all. It's just powered via Bluetooth from the tablet. So theoretically, that could take a draw on the tablet's power. I haven't been able to notice it at all. I mean, it's pretty minimal.
Yeah. Yeah, and the backlight on the keys are really like, I mean, definitely the star of the show on this is the keyboard dock and how well it integrates with the keyboard.
That's a really nice design. The cylinder reminds me of, remember those old Sony tablets when Sony was making tablets again that were, there was the one that was like the wedge and it had a rounded edge like this. So you almost, it forced you to hold it like a magazine. Remember that flipped over? Yeah, so it reminds me a lot of that. But that dock is really cool. That's really neat. I mean, I've been using my Nexus 9 with a Bluetooth keyboard, you know, mocking up basically this. But this would be great for traveling and for, you know, it seems small enough, slimline enough to use it on a plane without much problem with the space on the.
Yeah,
on
it's
the
definitely
tray. Yeah.
It's definitely a compact
sort of
approach.
Cool.
But it's a large. Large screen Android tablet, which I feel like we're not seeing a whole lot of those these days. Yeah. They've kind of all centered around the 7-inch form factor. And, you know, a part of that is just that Android tablets of that size, the larger size, haven't done so well because they haven't been great experiences. Yeah. But I've actually been pretty happy with Lollipop and the kind of keyboard integration with this larger form factor. There are some weird things. Like sometimes you'll launch an app, and even though it runs in landscape mode, it might have like a an onboarding kind of walkthrough that forces you vertical. Yep. And when it's in the keyboard dock, like that literally means you're putting your keyboard to the side like this in order to do it, or looking sideways in order to do it. So the weird little things like that pop up every once in a while, but.
Yeah, which to be fair is a fault of the developer, not the tablet.
Fair enough.
The user, it's is what it is.
If the tutorial was meant for a phone and it's vertical oriented, then the developer needs to know this might be used on a tablet or set that restriction or whatever.
Right.
What is the price point on it? Do we know how much it is? Or
what is the price?
It's six. Wait, I've got it here.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you just
there's
get
a few
the
different
tablet,
price points.
Yeah, 500 for 16 gig, 550, rounding up, 550 for 32 gig. When you start getting in the keyboard dock, you go 630, 16 gig, 679, 680, basically, for 32 gig. There is a $50 off coupon if you buy it from Dell, a coupon code, which it's really long. There's no point in saying it out loud. But if you could search for it, if you look at my reviews, got it in there, too. So if you're going to buy it from Dell, it's supposed to be good through the end of July. That knocks $50 off. It's not cheap, but for a 10-inch tablet, you know, it's about where you would expect. It's not outrageous. It's not cheap, but it's in the right kind of ballpark.
I mean, it's similarly priced to an iPad, to like a current gen iPad price. North of 500 is a little pricey though, but what you get for it is pretty neat. But it's, you know, kind of hard when there are Chromebooks that are out there that are selling for $250. It's kind of interesting to see that, you know, here we are again with that Android versus Chromebook.
Yeah,
you know,
which I've actually thought a lot about as I've been using this, which is just the idea of like if Chrome OS was on here, you wouldn't bat an eye, right? Like you wouldn't flinch. It seems like it would be a Chrome laptop, but yet it's running Android. Just makes me wonder if at a certain point, you know, the mystical like convergence of Android and Chrome OS happens to the point to where you could have something like this and decide, actually, I want to run in Chrome OS mode versus running in Android mode. Because there, you know, Android just as an OS in general, I still, even though this is a pretty good experience, there are still things in there that make me feel like Android is not a laptop first type OS. You know what I mean? Whereas Chrome OS does feel that way. So there would possibly be some benefit to being able to select between those. So I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. It's an interesting distinction. I mean, this has its benefits, but it also has its drawbacks. Like, if you're doing hardcore productivity, you're going to do better on a Chromebook or you know, whatever works for you—a Windows laptop, a MacBook, whatever. I think some people could get by with this as a primary computing device. People who are a little more casual, who maybe, you know, just send an email here and there, surf the web, write a couple of documents. But once you get into heavy duty multitasking, you know, I couldn't, it would be very difficult for me to use this in my day-to-day work. But around the house for traveling, it's great. And I think one thing worth mentioning, because this is a big part of what has made a lot of the 10-inch Android tablets out there right now not so great, is that the software on this, going back to what we were talking about before, pure Android, unnecessary modifications, you're looking at pretty much the stock Android Lollipop interface. Dell has made a few little tweaks here and there, but it's not much. It's, you know, they've added in a couple of custom apps, but you know, software wise it's really nice to use, which for me makes all the difference in the world, because, you know, I, some of those Samsung tablets, the recent ones, what they did on the 10-inch form in particular, it was just painful to look at, you know. And having nice software makes a big difference in user experience, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
I completely agree. Yeah, it's a super super vanilla kind of approach to Lollipop. Like you say, a few installed apps, but that's not really, you know, messing with the experience at all. Yeah. So. Cool.
So that is the Dell Venue 10 7000.
And yeah, check out JR's review on Computer World, and then I'm going to have a full review in next week's Before You Buy, recorded at the end of this week. So,
and we have a related email that the Dell Venue 10 could be a good answer for. But Ian Fay writes in and says, "Hey, all, love the show. I got a hardware question for you folks. I've got an aging Nexus 7 2013 tablet. I love it, especially for reading comics. It's definitely having some issues now, though, and I'm starting to look at replacing it. I'm really interested in the new Asus Chromebook Flip, especially for a more laptop-like functionality. The Nexus 9 is just too big for one-handed when reading, in my opinion. However, I'm seriously worried I won't be able to save comics on the memory for use when reading on the train. I know there's some hacks that let users port Android apps to Chrome, and there's rumblings of further migration, but I was wondering what my option would be in that regard, and if a Chromebook is out, what tablet y'all would recommend to replace the Nexus 7 in terms of form factor and pure Google-esque experience?" So, yeah, definitely this Dell Venue 10 could be an option. But hey, I read some comics. I got a Nexus.
You know something about comics.
I know something about it. First off, to address your question, being worried that you won't be able to get the comics on your device, as long as you have enough memory, and even if your tablet has 16 gig on it, you have more than enough to store a few, you know, comics generally in size don't run much more than, you know, 80 meg or so per issue, depending on how big it is. If you get a big volume, a big graphic novel, that might be a little bigger, but you'd be surprised how many you can save locally. And if you're using Comixology or buying from Google Play Books or whatever, you can download them locally, read them offline. That's a key part of it, so don't worry about that. But I mean, I've got the Nexus 9 right here, and I've got this great case from Portenzo, and I read stuff one-handed all the time. You know, it's real easy to just give it a hold. You know, if you get a good case and hold it, it's not hard to just flip with one thumb at all. I did look, in addition to the Dell, I saw HP in late 2014 had those slate books that were tablets with keyboards that are kind of like mini laptops that seemed to be priced sub $500. I don't know if they went anywhere, but they were colored really gaudy. They were like bright yellow or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that could be an option.
JR, you had a couple of ideas prior to the show as well.
Yeah, well, a lot of what Ron said, that a Chromebook could certainly work. It kind of just depends on what sort of experience you want. You know, if you're looking to run Android apps, this may very well evolve in the near future. But right now, it's not the greatest, most easy and universal experience on Chrome OS. You can do it. You can, like you said, there's some backdoor hacks that'll let you port things over, but it's not just simple where everything works. You know, if you're looking for productivity, Chromebook is going to be great. And, you know, if you're looking more for sort of a tablet-y Android experience, then the tablet's probably going to suit you a little bit better. The other thing about the Chromebook Flip, and I haven't seen it yet, it's supposedly coming out any minute now. But, you know, display-wise, you're looking at a pretty significant step down in resolution and quality from what you're going to get on a tablet like the Dell, or, you know, most any like mid to high-range tablet nowadays. You're looking at, you know, a very high-quality, high-resolution screen. A lot of these less expensive Chromebooks, that's where the cost is being cut, that you're getting these fairly low resolution, often TN panel, which is sort of that grainy, not great looking display. So, you know, if you're okay with that, great. And that's why they can sell them so cheaply. But that's just something to keep in mind, you know, the kind of experience you're getting, the display is a big part of that. And, yeah, you know, tablet to Chromebook, unless you're going to pay a lot of money for a Chromebook, that's part. And there's some decent ones like the Toshiba Chromebook 2, and there's the Acer Chromebook 15 that have pretty decent displays. Still not the level of resolution that you're going to get on something like this, unless you're going to pay, you know, a grand for the Pixel. But so there's really just a lot to consider, and the lines are blurring now between Chrome OS and Android, where it's, as we were talking about with the Dell, it's not like I said a Dell, but the Dell. Dell is coming on the next segment. It's interesting, and there's not really a black and white definite answer. The lines between the two are blurring, and it just kind of comes down to the type of experience you want and what you need to do with it. But really, you could go either way, and it'll be interesting to see when the Flip comes out and we get a better idea of what exactly it's like to use, you know, and what, if anything, may change with Chrome OS to make it a little more touch-friendly with that launch. So we'll see. It's the options and the choice, I think, is pretty exciting now that we've got these different possibilities and lots of nuances for different needs and desires.
Yeah, it's funny because there are a whole bunch of Microsoft tablet with keyboard, you know, hybrid machines. I was searching, I was looking for ones that are out, you know, that are either out now. And, you know, it's Microsoft like 10 to 1 ratio in terms of Android with this form factor. But I'm wondering, you know, a lot of people rave about the Surface 3 and all that, and a lot of people really like that. And is that success going to bleed into the Android space and you see more hybrid similar to the Venue here on the Android tablet side? I don't know.
Yeah, it's also a marketing thing. Yeah. I think Windows devices have always been marketed as good for productivity.
Yeah.
Android
yeah.
devices, I don't think, have. And so this is actually kind of a pretty not common thing to see as a result. You know, most people don't think of Android and immediately think, oh, I could get a convertible laptop for my Android device and I'd be, you know, it's all I need. Windows, you think that. You know, with the Surface tablet is now, people think that. With the iPad, you know, you're closer to that now, and a lot of people actually use their iPad with a keyboard dock, and that becomes a productivity device. Android still has some work to get there. And, you know, Android M, a feature that's in there that they didn't really talk a whole lot about, and it remains to be seen whether it's rolled out full, you know, to full time in the main release of M or not, is kind of the dual screen mode. And you know, that kind of brings it a little bit closer in that productivity kind of front as well. So so it seems like Google's working on it, but I just don't think up until now Android has been seen as like the productivity platform of choice.
Well, thanks for writing in, Ian, and let us know what you ultimately choose and where you decide what you decide to buy, and like to hear where you end up. But thanks for writing in, and you can write in by emailing us at
aaa@twit.tv.
aaa@twit.tv. So it's always good to hear from you, the awesome community.
That's right.
All right, let's take a break and thank our next sponsor. We want to thank this Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And Squarespace makes it easy to create a professional website, blog, or online store. Plus, they have incredible 24/7 customer support. I run my personal website at ronxo.com on Squarespace. And listen, you know, I know some HTML, I know some CSS. By no means am I a good developer at all. But with Squarespace, I can make my site look beautiful and look simple and as clean as I want it to, or as complicated as I want to, depending on what my desires are. All the tools are there. And it's the reason why I love Squarespace and why you're going to love Squarespace too. Their designs are simple, powerful, and beautiful. They've got a robust and reliable platform. They've got a state-of-the-art technology powering your site to ensure maximum security and stability. All of their designs are responsive, so your website can scale to look great on any device, whether it's a computer or a phone. They've got e-commerce support, so if you want to sell things, every website can add in their powerful e-commerce capabilities, and you can start selling things today. No delay. You can just get your website up, get all of your content on there, and they take away all of the hassle. You don't have to worry about server and server monitoring and DNS and all this crazy website stuff. Squarespace makes it super easy to do it. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to try a free trial with no credit card required at squarespace.com. Do it before June 30th and get a free year of custom email and business tools when you sign up for Squarespace Professional or Business Plan. And make sure you use the promo code AboutAndroid to get 10% off and show your support for the show. Squarespace is awesome. We love it. You'll love it too. Use Squarespace. Build it beautiful. And we thank them for their support of All About Android.
Thank you, Squarespace. Love you guys. All right. Let's check out some apps.
Go.
All right, so let's see here. YouTube Gaming. This is a new announcement as of last week. A new version, a new app actually is going to be released for Android, and a new service. And the app actually looks really good. Some people are like, this looks better than the YouTube app.
Yeah.
But it's designed to be more or less Google's kind of Twitch killer. So, you know, live streaming of gameplay footage to your phone through YouTube. A lot of people are already posting gameplay footage to YouTube post-record.
Yep.
This would be more live streaming type stuff. And
this is no surprise.
Looks interesting.
Given how popular Twitch has become and people watching other people play video games, and you know that, you know, with Google, with their Hangouts on Air and live streaming of, you know, content through YouTube, it makes perfect sense that they would develop this kind of Twitch killer to, you know, bring video games over to YouTube. JR, do you watch video game play on Twitch or?
It's never been my thing, personally. But no, I mean, I'm not surprised that Google's getting into it. They've had this kind of the video platform for years now. You know, YouTube is synonymous with online video, and to make it an official thing where it becomes branded and known for that, it makes a lot of sense. I'm surprised it's taken them this long to do it, but it makes an awful lot of sense.
And it's they're like the 800-pound gorilla when it comes to online video, and Twitch has been great. They were acquired by Amazon. They've been a great organization and really supportive of the gaming industry. And we shouldn't poke fun. It's not just video game. It's all streaming. In fact, just last week, me and my friends set up a couple of camera rigs, and we were live streaming via Twitch, us playing pinball live. And you had one camera on the pinball machine.
Cool. Are there a lot of people doing Twitch pinball?
There actually are. Yeah, there's a group in Chicago called Deadflip that do it every night, and you can watch them play pinball. And what's really interesting is that in the pinball competitive circuit, there's an organization called PAPA, which the Professional Amateur Pinball Association. Mm-hmm. And the big kind of tournaments and the big kind of competitions, they will live stream the results. So admittedly, I've sat at home on my couch and watched 3 hours of people playing pinball in Pittsburgh. It's kind of neat. And so to see Google get into it with YouTube just makes perfect sense. So
Yeah. I am curious to know. Yes, I have inherited another laptop.
They're multiplying.
What happened? These two got together and they made this. I am curious to know if at some point you'll be able to live stream from the app on your device. Because, I mean,
we're seeing that.
Are we?
Yeah, we absolutely are.
Samsung, I think, just released.
Released, and there's an app that I thought about doing in the arena, but I just don't care that much. And it's like Camcorder or something like that with a K. I forget what the name of the app is. I should try to find it. But that is, supporting live streaming from your device out there to Twitch or eventually to YouTube. So, it's definitely to come from the device level soon. I think it's called Camcord, Kamcord. I can't find it.
Kamcord, maybe.
Yeah, but anyway, I wouldn't be surprised if they bake it into the to the app at some point. So.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, could you imagine live Flappy Bird?
Yes, I can.
Flappy Bird still last year.
Anyway. Additionally, talk about Google expanding into other areas. Google Music launched its first free ad-supported version of Google Play Music recently. It's U.S. only for now. And it's kind of radio station based, revolving around different moods or scenarios. And this is thanks to Google Songs acquisition from last year. But this is basically, Google getting into a similar model as Pandora or RDO or Spotify before you get into the subscription bases, where you can listen to music and every now and then get an ad interruption and continue to listen to it free. Google says that this app, that this new version is meant to allow people to sample the service before subscribing, and they'll like it so much that they'll sign up and subscribe immediately. At least that's what they're hoping for. And in addition to that, they updated the Google Play Music app that that was released today, and it features a couple of new features, including UI tweaks and a dedicated page for managing music synced to your Wear device. So we're seeing Google Music and Android Wear kind of getting more and more integrated and that much closer. So.
Yeah, I haven't really done the whole music on my Wear thing. But I guess I don't have a Bluetooth headset. So that's kind of important, Bluetooth earbuds or whatever. I don't know. What do you think of free tier or free radio, rather, of Google Music, JR? You think this is a big deal for people? You think people are going to, like, latch onto this Obviously, Google's doing this ahead of Apple Music, so.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It felt very much to me to be a direct response to the Apple Music thing. Yeah. I don't know if you guys read the, I guess it was either a blog or press, I think it was a blog that came out. The wording in it was, you know, very reminiscent of Apple's approach to the way they described music and promoted it, that actual humans are curating the songs that we think you'll want to hear, which Google does have that service with SongsUp, but yeah. The way they're suddenly promoting it and making it free and the way they phrase it felt very responsive, which, you know, of course that makes sense. They're going to do that. Yeah. Will people care? I don't know. There's so many services that do similar things to this. I think it's going to be hard for them to make a big impact just with that in and of itself. I mean, Google Play Music as a package is pretty compelling for people, for some people. The fact that you can upload your own songs, have them available anywhere, you know, combined in with the on-demand stuff. But just the new free thing by itself, what they're allowing, I don't know. I have a hard time imagining normal non-techie friends of mine, A, knowing and B, caring. But maybe. I'm being cynical about it.
Yeah, and I don't think you're being that cynical about it, but I definitely think that it falls under the category of, I can't believe it took them this long to do it. And is it the kind of thing they've been sitting on? And then the Apple announcement just had them push it over. Or were they always planning? We'll never know. But, I mean, they've had SongsUp for a while. That's what SongsUp did. They integrated SongsUp into Google Play Music for subscribers. I just don't understand why it took this. I mean, this just seems like a no-brainer. So,
Having said that, I love that feature of All Access. I use it all the time.
I hate it. I'm too much of a control freak now. It just takes one bad song to get me annoyed. And I know you can skip it, but I don't want, like, if I'm trusting a radio station, I want it to be truly a radio station. And I don't know. Well, although a couple weekends ago when I was grilling at my sister's house, I just threw on, you know, I started Google radio station off of a song and I played some good songs. So maybe I should try it a little more.
I mean, that's a little different, right? Yeah. Like that's an algorithm that's churning on it. The songlist stuff is a little more curated. I've discovered some pretty cool stuff by doing that. My wife uses it all the time. It's like at dinner, it's like, what am I in the mood for? This one. And that's the music you listen to.
It's a problem that I'm a really picky music snob.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
So, I can be too, but then at some point I don't want to have to, anytime I want to listen to music, I want as little friction as possible lately. Yeah. Like when I get in the car, do I want to sit there for 5 minutes and figure out what I'm going to play? Or do I want to just hit this button and drive?
Yeah.
You know, so lately I've been lazing out, I guess, that maybe that's what I'm saying.
Here's a related question.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever use, so you guys both subscribe to the premium paid music service. Do you ever use the YouTube Music Key or whatever they're calling it now? When that came out, there was such a big splash. And I don't know anyone who actually, I mean, people who subscribe, but who actually uses it. And I'm wondering if that kind of fell by the wayside or if it just... I don't know. It still feels like it's sort of half there and no one really knows.
I feel like that was a way to get people who were listening to music on YouTube to be using Google Play and have it be ad-free. I don't listen to music via YouTube. I don't pull up a playlist on YouTube and let it blow through the videos. Like, I just listen to Google Play Music. So I don't think that feature was for us. I have noticed I'll play a song and there'll be a little YouTube red box and I can go play the video, but I'm listening to the song. I don't want to play the video. Yeah, but
exactly.
But JR, I haven't used it and I haven't seen anybody use it. Use it, but I don't think it's for us.
I've inadvertently used it here and there. Every once in a while, I realize that I've tapped into it somehow. But I completely agree. I don't think it's for us. Yeah. But I do wonder because it's really moved the needle very much.
Yeah.
Because I mean, leading up to it, it was always like, the current generation, all they do is get their music from YouTube.
Right.
It was like, okay, so then this was obviously an attempt to capitalize on that.
And have you?
Is
done
it
that?
Working?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm very curious to know.
We'll never know.
Yeah, we may never know until they get rid of it. Google continues to break out its core apps into the Play Store. And the latest one, maybe it's not a biggie, but it's another one, Google's Clock app. And so this is basically the same Clock app that you get, I believe, in Android M if you've done the developer preview of M. So now everybody has it. This time, they're also adding support for Android Wear. So if you're getting an alarm, you can snooze and dismiss that alarm from your watch as it's going on. But not a major breakout. Maybe someday they'll break out, I don't know, the dialer or something. I'm sure someday they will.
I think these are very much like seeing the forest through the trees thing, though. Like the clock app itself, not a huge deal. Like no single app they've done has been transformative. But the fact that they keep doing more and more, that's the big picture of what that represents is pretty incredible. When you think about, you know, what might be updated just via apps on your phone in any given month is equivalent to, you know, many iOS major version number ups, and that's just happening via apps in the Play Store. So that's the big picture of it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's kind of twofold, right? For anyone who doesn't have stock Android and wouldn't already have these apps installed, it allows people to install them. For anyone who does, it allows those apps to be updated and not at the system level, independent. So suddenly you're getting updates on these things, whereas before you wouldn't have. You'd have to wait until the next major upgrade. So, yeah, really good point.
Yeah, and when you add it all together, you know, a new search app, a new Google Now app, Maps, whatever, wallet. I guess wallet isn't that big a deal anymore. Keyboard. Things that all together could, on another platform, be an OS upgrade. You're just kind of getting in piecemeal here and there. So
yeah, it all adds up. Let's thank our final sponsor of today's episode before we get into the Android arena. And I want to thank Blue Apron for this episode. And I love Blue Apron. We're always cooking Blue Apron, and we're recooking old, you know, recipes that we've received through Blue Apron at this point. We're really enjoying it at the Howell House. We love to eat. And you know, you might find that it's hard to find a meal that doesn't compromise somewhere value, you know, how long it takes to make. Being healthy, being delicious. And that's exactly what Blue Apron is all about. Blue Apron makes cooking delicious meals easy and fun. They deliver fresh, ready-to-cook meals right to your door. Literally, you get a box at your door, and inside there are components to however many meals you've ordered for that particular delivery. And it's all, you know, wrapped up individually, so you know each of the pieces that goes into your recipes, however many recipes you have in there. There's a bunch of, dry ice down at the bottom that keeps everything cold. All your meats, all your vegetables, everything comes in as super fresh. And, you know, it's basically it's for less than $10 per meal. You're getting all this stuff. You get step-by-step recipe instructions. That's including printed pictures. And all this makes cooking these meals just easy and fun. You learn a lot, actually, in the process, and you don't have to go to the grocery store and waste your time on finding all of those ingredients. It's done for you. It's perfect for date night. It's perfect for cooking with friends. And we have, actually, the family plan, so the meals are actually more tailored towards, you know, making everyone in the family happy and not just mom, dad. Making cooking healthy meals just easy and, you know, it's just a lot of fun to do. Every balanced meal is 500 to 700 calories per serving. Cooking takes, I'd say, around half hour, maybe 40 minutes or so. Each recipe is right around there. Shipping's free. The menus are always new. They won't send the same meal twice. And they work around your schedule and your dietary preferences. So here I was making a lamb and beef shawarma, and it was awesome. Falafel. Wow, that looks really good.
Italy's great. Yeah.
I'm too hungry for this ad read. Grilled brie sandwiches with quick strawberry jam is another one. Basically, you're going to cook incredible meals. You're going to be blown away by the quality and freshness. And the beauty is, a lot of the times, they're making these decisions for you. So it might not be a recipe that you would pick in a recipe book, but they send it to you. And then you make it, and then you realize, actually, that was really good. I may not have picked it, but I loved it.
Yep.
And that's happened a couple of times. We're like, I'm not sure I would have picked this, but it was really, really good. So, Blue Apron, it's a better way to cook. Check out this week's menu and get your first two meals free. I'm giving you free food here. Two meals free by going to blueapron.com/twit. Two meals for free. Just go to blueapron.com/twit and check it out for yourself and get the free food. And I think you're going to love the service. We thank Blue Apron for their support of All About Android.
Oh, looks like Zach's got an appointment.
That was me. Guilty.
Oh,
sorry.
JR. All right. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. That was actually the alarm that takes us into the arena.
There you go.
Yeah. So we're going to go to the Android arena now.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
All right, so now at this point, I've just totally embraced the fact that I'm using two computers. But it's only because I can't move rows on.
Not the venue's fault, by the way.
No, this was totally
my
fault.
You had to do something that was very laptop specific, and so.
Yeah, it's my fault. Blame me. Okay, so last week, so now I'm back. I've done almost everything I need to do over here, so I can set it aside and dedicate myself to the venue. Last week was episode 218. Let's follow that link here and see what we had in the arena. The poll of three apps. I'm just kind of biding time.
As it loads. All I know is I got my butt kicked. I absolutely got my butt destroyed.
Yeah, I think I ended up winning this one.
Sometimes we see the poll when we're talking about it, Zach.
Let's see here.
It's taking a long time on my end.
So there's something going on. As far as I know, I won with Portal, but it's not giving me any of the results. What was yours? Mine was flipped. And it was the last place.
Yeah, it was last place. Okay. And in Flip's defense, when we did the demo, it didn't reboot. The developers did get in touch, and they say, it's supposed to. We're working on that.
Okay.
So in their credit. And then a couple of users online said it worked for them when they tried it. So,
oh, okay.
So there you go.
All right. So
whatever. I thought people would like Flipped. What do I know?
Well, they will.
You helped make the app better. Yeah. See? You did a service.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, Portal wins. Yay. I'll take the win. Ron Flipped did not win.
Yep.
That means that you have to redeem yourself right now.
I do have to redeem myself. And how I'm going to redeem myself is by using an app that I've had my eye on, and then they got acquired, and then I said, okay, I'm not going to do it. But they just rolled out something really innovative. So I want to talk about Sunrise Calendar. You might have heard about Sunrise Calendar. Like I said, they're an app that came out for both iOS and Android. Basically, beautifully designed calendar. And honestly, after using it for a couple of days, it's better than Google Calendar, to be honest with you.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, smartly, Microsoft snatched them up. They acquired Sunrise. It does not look as if they didn't shut it down. It doesn't look like they're messing with it that much. They're probably learning from it to, you know, kind of work it into the greater Outlook enterprise. But in the meantime, Sunrise is just kicking along. And so here I can – I plugged in the – there you go. There's my Sunrise. So here you can see this is the app on the phone's side of things. And this is my calendar. And you can see I've got a haircut tomorrow that I'm way overdue for. What's really interesting is that, so I've integrated it with my Google account. And what happens is that I have, you know, things lined up like tomorrow night I have dinner with my friend Alberto. And on Thursday I'm playing in a pinball tournament. If you zoom in, you notice that it picked up the fact that I have a dinner. And so the icon next to it is a little fork and knife.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love that.
I guess it picked up the fact that I'm in a tournament. And so the icon's a little cup. Like it's... really just smart about the way it's handling those different events in your life. You also might notice that it's separating, giving you an idea of the time and automatically integrating the weather. So I have an idea that in the evening tomorrow night, it's going to be sunny, about 75. Like these are just subtle little things that when you think about events, how would you want to interact with them? You can switch, if you zoom back out, Zach, you can switch between the view. This is just the daily view. And you notice here that I can scroll through the top. Actually, I can swipe, and that will give me the daily one, right? And I can scroll through days. And then you notice that subtle little change up there by that icon. See? There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to change the things. You know, so you've got all that. All right. Within the settings, it integrates with so many accounts. If I go to add account, look at all these services that it has. You can integrate with your iCloud if you use iOS stuff, but Google Calendar, Exchange, of course, but also Facebook, TripIt, Asana, Basecamp, Eventbrite, GitHub, LinkedIn, Meetup, you know, Twitter, Trello, anything that has events going on or some sort of account, you can connect these apps. And if I've bought a ticket for a show via Eventbrite, it can get pulled into this into my calendar very, very simply and easily. They also have suggested some interesting calendars that I can load. If you want to, you can add in, you know, the world, you know, they've got timely calendars, the Women's World Cup that's going on, or the Major League Baseball, various sports calendars, as well as, you know, TV schedules that they've worked in for, you know, based on the different time zones. Basically anything that you might want to appear on a calendar. So already Sunrise is a beautiful app and it's amazing, but what really put me over the top is this new functionality that they've got called Meet, which is honestly an innovative approach to scheduling a meeting with somebody. If you work in business or if you're talking with friends or anything like that, sometimes it can be so annoying to be like, How to, you know, are you free Monday? Okay, great. I'm free Monday. Where do you want to meet? All this sort of stuff. So what they've done is that they've actually created, and actually, Zach, if you can cut away, I'm going to go into a text message with Jason, and I hope I don't show your phone number as I do this.
We'll see.
Nope, not that. There you go. I'm going to go. Okay, I don't show your phone number.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you take my camera, this is a typical text, and let's say we're trying to plan when we're going to hang out. What they've done is they've created their own keyboard. So if I tap in the lower right-hand corner of the keyboard icon and then switch to the Sunrise keyboard, it changes the keyboard to a glimpse of my calendar. And then what I can do is I can pick a time right there and say yes. And it will create a meeting and then create a URL that I can send to Jason, and Jason can load up that URL. And when I tap on it, I'm going to go there.
Oh, look, I got a message from...
there you go. But so the URL that I sent to Jason is basically a meeting invite with the information. How cool is that?
That's pretty clever.
Right? Like, it's really, really clever. And then it allows the user to pick a time that works for them. I can offer up multiple availabilities. I can say, how about these times or whatever? And they can choose one, and it'll send it back to me, and I'll sync up there. It's the idea is to change the way that you schedule meetings, and it kind of does it. Mm-hmm. By using the keyboard, that's really clever. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So good job, Sunrise Calendar. Their new Meet calendar, it's part of the Sunrise, their Meet appointment. What do they call it? It's called, it just calls Meet. The fastest way to schedule one-on-ones with Sunrise. It's embedded within the Sunrise calendar app. So you don't need to download anything else. You don't need to install anything else. Just download Sunrise. You automatically get Meet, and it completely changes the way you're going to schedule meetings. So there you go.
Yeah, Sunrise took me a while to get around to because I heard a lot of people always talking about it. And I was like, one of these days. And then eventually I finally played around with it. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, no, it was the kind of thing where, really great the app. Same thing where I kind of ignored it. I'm like, I don't need another calendar. I don't use that calendar much. Once I installed it, I'm like, oh, wow, this is like next level calendar stuff. And then that Meet thing was just the idea of using the keyboard. That's so cool. Like that. So great job. Strongly recommend it. Sunrise Calendar. If you do a lot of calendaring work, if you're busy, go for it.
All right. I'm just getting used to that keyboard. Okay, there we go. Cool. So Sunrise Calendar, yes, I love it. That keyboard, the calendar and the keyboard just together, like they work really well together. So definitely worth checking out. JR, you are up next, and I will show off the app. What I can show off of it anyways.
Yeah, it's not the most visual or easy to demonstrate one, but it's really, really useful. It's called Heads Off. It sounds much more violent than it is. So anyone who's used Lollipop, you probably know about a new feature in Lollipop. I might call it more of a quirk with the heads up notifications. There are notifications for certain kinds of apps and activities, like when you get a text message. And instead of showing up just in the notification bar, it shows up as a little card on the top of your screen. And with Android 5.0, you can't dismiss it without getting rid of it altogether. It's just there and it stays there for like 10 seconds.
There it is. That's what it is.
Always in the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you're reading something that's right where you need to be, or you can't push, you know, you can't get to most buttons at, you know, icons at the top of the screen because it's right in the way. 5.1 makes it a little better. You can swipe it up to get rid of it instead of just dismissing it entirely. But either way, it's for me and for a lot of people that I've heard from, it's not ideal. So heads off basically just gives you a hack to get around that. The app itself is free. If you really want to get the full functionality, you need to pay $2 and get the pro key too. But all it does is it lets you translate all those notifications, turn them off, and then what you can do is make it show ticker text, like what Android used to do before Lollipop. So the same notification that came in a minute ago that Jason had of that text message, once you set this app to handle that kind of notification, well, you can see the little demo going in there. It'll just show up unobtrusively in your status bar. It can show you a little preview. If you don't want it to, you can turn it off. I find it to be pretty useful. And it just gives you the message without getting in your way. And, you know, it'll work just as well for a calendar event, any kind of notification that was showing a heads up notification. You can get rid of it and turn it into a ticker text. So it's giving you the info without getting in your way. You can either do it universally and just say, hey, treat all my apps like this, or you can go in and do one by one. If, say, you want to get the heads-up notification for calendar events but not for text messages, you can pick and choose. Really simple. You set it up, you run it, you never think about it, but it's made a world of difference for me in what devices are like to use, because that was one of the things, as much as I love Lollipop, one of the things about Lollipop that just drove me crazy. And with that on there now, it's just such a difference.
Yeah, it's interesting. That notification, that specific type of notification, is very polarizing, I think. Some people love it. Some people hate it. There's no real in between. It doesn't bother me, but it does. But definitely,
you just said there's no in between, but it doesn't.
No, you're right. You're right. Because you're right. I wouldn't say I love it. There is in between, and I'm a prime example of that.
There you go. Everybody's in between.
I don't know, but I guess what I'm trying to say is people really do dislike it.
Right.
And it's never bothered me, but apparently there's a lot of hatred for it. And this allows you to get rid of it and do the ticker text. So,
And interestingly, at least in its current state, Android M has a way to disable it app by app, but Android M does not let you go back and get ticker text instead. It's just kind of an on-off switch. So, and of course that could change by the time M comes out, but as it stands now, this app could actually still be useful by the time M comes around. Hopefully it'll still be compatible and things won't break. But certainly for now is extremely useful, and even for M may still have a utility by being able to give you that ticker text and let you see a message without it being in your way.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So that is Heads Off. And great app. Let's see here. So mine... I'm not sure how well this is going to do in the arena, but I will say...
It's my favorite kind.
You love it when I start like that.
I do.
But I will say that it's helped me a lot. So, personally, when it comes to, like, reminders to do things, one of the things I always remind myself of, because I'm really bad at it, is drinking water.
This topic keeps coming up.
It does. Doesn't it? Because I'm always trying to tackle it. I know it's good for me. I know I need to drink a lot of it. I'm a tall guy, so I need to drink more of it than other people that aren't quite so tall. And yet, instead, I drink coffee or something else. And I don't drink what should be probably at least six of these every single day. At least six of these every single day. It's not easy to do, and I need help with it. I've tried all types of reminder things. They haven't worked. I found one that's working for me. It's called Water Your Body. And... okay, little creepy name aside, it's really good at nudging you in that direction. And I like the interface because, it'll give you notifications and everything to help you that, you can also pull up on your wear device. But basically what it does is you tell it how much you weigh. When you first set up, you kind of go through, the setting as far as like how tall are you, how much do you weigh, are you active, all that kind of stuff. And it comes up with an amount of water that you should be drinking on any given day. You also are able to set kind of the timing as far as when this happens throughout the day. Where is it? Is it the calendar? Let's see here. Smart Reminder. So Smart Reminder, basically what I've done is I've said normally I'm awake from 7 until 10 or 11. So the amount that you've specified I need to drink during my day, spread that out through this time, this amount of time, every day. And what you'll see on this kind of meter up here. Oh, I just added one. Oops. What you'll see on this meter is that little red triangle. That's where I'm at right now. I'm under where I need to be based on the amount of time that I told it I have in any given day and what I've drank. So far I've drank 3 20-ounce waters. I'm about to finish this one. So give me a second, 'cause I need to catch up here.
Now that's a demonstration.
That's a live demo right here.
Yeah, it is.
Well, people don't realize that this thing is full, so we might be here a while. So
all gone. Cool. Now I can go back to my app and I can go bloop. Still a little bit behind. The show has kind of thrown me off, but sometime tonight I'm gonna hit that because this is a 20-ounce bottle, and I'm going to go past that triangle. Basically, what this means is before I go to bed tonight, I need to at least drink one and a little bit more. For some reason, I'm not sure why exactly, but for some reason, the way that this is laid out and the simplicity of it and the reminder aspects of it, it gives you a nice notification reminder, and all you have to do is hit drink, and it remembers the last amount that you had, because it has, it supports any amount. Right. You might have a different water bottle every day. Today, I'm using a 20-ounce bottle, so I just hit take a drink, and it sends it through, and I move on with my day. And then you can go in here if you really care, and you know it's got your full log and all that kind of stuff. I'm not sure I would ever really go back in time and be like, I really need to find out what I drank water-wise 5 days ago. But you know, it does. I mean, you're giving it that data anyways, so it's going to log it for you. And it also, as you're going along, if you want to kind of like keep it up to date with whatever your weight is, like say you're keeping track of that regularly here, it can sync to Google Fit and sync that information over to Fit and track it there as well. So anyways, yes, it's a recurring theme in my life, but thankfully now, right now, I feel like I found the app that's actually working for me. So I thought it was worth a mention. And it's designed really nice too. Like it has a little bit of that material design look. It's not 100% material design, but it certainly has character, and its simplicity helps in this regard. So if you have issues drinking water like I do, you should check out Water Your Body. Okay. Complete with a creepy delivery of the name. You're welcome. All right. So
that's the best part.
That is it. That's called the hot breath voice, yeah, by the way.
Hot breath.
Hot breath voice. So you can vote for your favorite app of this week. Is it Sunrise Calendar? Is it Heads Off or Water Your Body? Go to AAApoll.com/219, AAApoll.com/219, and place your vote, and we will check in on it
right now
next week and see who wins.
How often do you check the poll on a weekly basis?
Well, because I share it, yeah. I share it like I post it on the All About Android account, and then I share it from my own. Then I get notifications for a little while. I don't know, a couple of days, and then I stop seeing it.
Should I be checking it every 30 minutes, or is that too much?
I think every 30 seconds. Looks like you're dominating right now. Sunrise is at 80%, at least as of when it loaded for me.
Sunrise is pretty
It's very volatile in the beginning.
Yeah, it's only 10 votes when I looked at it. So 80% is all relative.
Yep.
You never know where it's going to land. Oh, wow. It's just changed. Yeah, Sunrise is kind of taking off with it right now.
It's pretty cool.
You could have a winner on your hands.
Could be cool. The idea of using the keyboard, like that's innovation. I like to see innovation. They made a keyboard.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought of that. So.
And we know about you and your history with keyboards.
I know. This is kind of a resurgence of my wacky keyboard idea.
Exactly. All right. Cool. So that is it for all the stuff we had planned. Anyone want to call an audible, or is that it? We done?
I think we're good. Zach, are you good?
I'm good.
All right. JR, always a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for coming back. And let's have you again soon, or at least before you guys have your next baby.
Yeah, absolutely. I am on board for that.
All right. Right on. And congratulations, by the way.
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So what you working on? Got anything kind of in the pipeline or anything you want to promote while you're here?
Yeah, sure. Always many things. Let's see. Actually, later this week, there will be a new episode in the How I Use Android series. So that'll be going up later, and a couple fun ones cooking right now for next month. But yeah, later this week, there will be a new one there that you can find. Easiest way to find my stuff is Google Plus or Twitter. If you go to my personal site, jrstart.com, you can find links to all my stories as well as my social media profiles. So it's a good place to start, as it were.
I see what you did there.
Yes.
Right on. Thanks again, JR. And Ron?
Yes, you can. As always, you can go to about.me/RonXO where you can find links to my Google Plus and Twitter and Instagram and fun stuff like that. And I got nothing to talk about as far as what I'm working on, but I will say that I was in a meeting yesterday that involved talking about releasing things on Android and iOS and web at the same time. So that was a fun conversation to have. I got to push my agenda a little further. So that's what we call a tease in the business.
Yeah, apparently so. Yeah. I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah. I'm very curious. So
I'll tell you later.
All right. Okay. All right, cool. Eskimo Zach, what about you?
Me? You can catch me on all sorts of shows at the TD desk here. All About Android's one of them when Brian decides not to show, but I also do Android App Arena. I do This Week in Computer Hardware. You can find me on Twitter at Eskimo Zach. That's Zach with an H.
Excellent. Thank you, Zach. Did an awesome job.
Good job,
really
Zach.
Appreciate it.
Bravo.
One more nail in Brian's coffin.
I do what I can.
He's slipping. He's slipping. I got an we got opportunities here.
He's got to return strong next week, or is, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Follow my music at yellowgoldmusic.com. I have another Android show that Zach just mentioned. Android app Arena, twit.tv/arena. This week it's all about local file sharing, like file sharing between people in the same space.
A lot in that space. The app the last week from Pushbullet, and then BitTorrent just came out with one this week.
BitTorrent had one. Although I didn't have very good luck with BitTorrent's one.
Oh, interesting.
I tried. I tried a lot.
Sure you did. I know,
and it didn't work, so I had to like reject it.
Yeah. Well,
that's just how it goes.
BitTorrent's fault.
Got to pick the three that work. Best. So there you go. Yes. So we got that twit.tv/arena, and that is it. Voicemail. You can leave us a voicemail 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email or video mail at AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We're at Android Show. We have a subreddit. Not very active, but some stories post there. TwitAAA.reddit.com. Show notes and past episodes can always be found at our page on the web. It's twit.tv/AAA. And check it out because it's a new design. YouTube and iTunes also for all of our past episodes. And you can catch us live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, at live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, guys.
All right.
I have to erase live.twit.tv from my memory.
Oh, you said live.twit.tv?
I did.
Oh.
Does that not work anymore?
It works, but it doesn't point to the new site. Apparently, there are some people in different organizations that...